Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Tapped by Coors Light.
Second touchdown of the day for Royce Freeman.
KFXX KWJJ HD2 Portland. Now, from The Fan Sports Desk, a SportsCenter update on 1080 The Fan.
Brought to you by Reflex Knees. If you've had a meniscus tear or knee pain, let the experts at Reflex evaluate you. Surgery is not always necessary. Learn more at ReflexKnees.com. First on The Fan, week two of the NFL kicked off last night with the Ravens visiting the Bengals. It was all Cincy early as Andy Dalton and A.J. Green hooked up for three touchdown passes in the first half. That's the first time in Green's career he's hit pay dirt three times in the same game. Despite a Ravens comeback attempt, they couldn't recover. Cincy goes on to win 38-23 as the Bengals move to 2-0 and have the early lead in the AFC North. Reports indicate the Seattle Seahawks have signed linebacker Michael Kendricks to a one-year deal. Kendricks was released by the Browns following his admission to involvement in an insider trading scheme. Kendricks had pled guilty to the charges that could put him in prison for up to 25 years, though it's unlikely he'll face that much time considering his cooperation to this point. But we won't know for some time as his sentencing hearing is scheduled for January 24th. The Seahawks will have an extra day to try and get Kendricks up to speed on defense as they visit the Chicago Bears for Monday Night Football. Bears currently 3.5-point favorites in that one. On the ice, a blockbuster deal in the NHL as the San Jose Sharks acquire defenseman Erik Karlsson from the Senators for a package of young players and picks. As Karlsson pairs up with defenseman Brent Burns, it'll be the ninth time in NHL history that two Norris Trophy winners have played for the same team at the same time. More sports scores and stories in 30 minutes. I'm Ryan Buckley from the 1080 The Fan Sports Desk, Portland's sports leader.
Set our hosts straight. Get breaking sports news and the latest fan videos. It's all at Facebook.com/1080TheFan. It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
On this Football Friday, thank you for being with us. We had a great conversation with Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. He'll be on the call for USC and Texas this weekend, coming up tomorrow. If you missed that interview, go check it out at 1080thefan.com. That is where all of the podcasts live.
You can also hang out on the radio.com app. That's what I use to listen to all my podcasts.
Hey, if you're driving in a car that has HD radio,
turn
it over to FM 99.5. Point two.
My favorite thing to do is to plug in my phone, and I have Apple CarPlay, very lucky, and to just pop it in. The radio.com app comes right up on your Apple CarPlay. You can select your podcast, and it's right there for you anytime.
If you have an Amazon Echo, all you need to say is, Alexa, play 1080 The Fan, and it'll play it right from the radio.com app.
You just made a lot of people mad in their house if they're listening.
But they would have already been on 1080 The Fan, right?
What if they're listening on their phone and the Alexa's just in there?
Yeah.
Hey, Siri, play. Oh, crap.
You did it.
Dang it.
All right. And that is Radio Plugs by Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
There we go.
Right now, though, it's time for our favorite segment of the week. It is Uncle Buck's Weekend Would You Rather. What are our categories for today, Buck?
Gentlemen, our categories, we have five of them. They are Hamming It Up.
Oh.
Avoiding the Army, the Guinness Book, Snakes on a Plane, and Peeing in Public. Where would you like to start?
Wow. Peeing seems to be a common theme on today's show.
Don't know why.
Before we start this, I would like to give quick shout-outs. Happy 20th anniversary, or happy 20th birthday of Total Request Live debuting on MTV.
A little TRL.
Carson Daly.
My dad's cousin used to appear on that show. He was video jockey John Norris for MTV.
Get out of town!
Yeah.
Wow.
Would you rather?
Cam bleached his tips to that to John Norris on there.
Would you rather TRL or Headbangers Ball?
Oh, TRL for sure.
Yeah, Headbangers Ball, baby.
Yeah, you were Headbangers Ball guy. Okay, yeah. Well, where I'm going to start this, avoiding the army for 500, Bob.
Yeah, so in Korea, it's required that everyone, every male serves 2 years in the Army before their 28th birthday, I believe.
We're talking north, south, east, west?
South Korea. So a group of college kids basically tried to come up with ways to duck the Army. They realized if they put on too much weight, they wouldn't be wanted. So they spent 6 months eating pizza and burgers 5 times a day. One of them gained as many as 30 pounds to avoid the service.
Wow.
So the question here is, would you rather serve the 2 years without knowing exactly what your role is going to be, or gain 30 pounds in 6 months eating burgers and pizza with no guarantee you'll be able to lose it?
Oh, I'll serve the 2 years. South Korea?
South Korea.
Not North Korea.
Nope.
Well, I mean, there's always the threat of North Korea, though.
Always there.
I'll serve the 2 years.
I'm serving the 2 years all day long.
I'll serve the 2 years.
Because not only am I getting in shape, I'm learning some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Coming.
That was a pretty easy one then.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the 30 pounds, that just sounds like the most unhealthy thing ever. That is quite the draft dodge right there.
Yeah, apparently it was 12 music students and the Korean authorities, South Korean authorities, trying to make an example of them. Mm.
Wouldn't they just enlist them anyway and make them more miserable?
Yeah, maybe probably. They don't want to send them to their own death if they're too fat to run. I don't know.
Good point.
Okay.
What's next, Cameron? I'm going to take Dusty's one that he should pick, but he backed out of it. Snakes on a plane.
Why should I have taken that one?
Because you hate snakes and you need to face your fear.
Okay, so this is a little bit...
I'm so afraid of them, I don't even want to ask the question.
Yeah,
this one's pretty terrifying. There was a passenger who was stopped flying from Germany to Russia with 20 snakes in his carry-on.
First red flag.
What?
20 snakes in his carry-on.
What?
Yeah, they weren't documented. He got stopped going into Russia. They're like, wait, you need documentation for all these snakes, apparently.
How did he get through the first wave of security in Germany?
I don't know. Apparently, it wasn't disallowed. So he bought all the snakes before going to the airport. He put them in like canisters, and then he put those canisters in like a duffel bag, and he had 20 snakes with him.
What good are these x-ray machines?
I don't know. The question here is, would you rather fly in a plane where you knew a passenger had 20 snakes with them but didn't know where the passenger was seated, or would you rather fly in a plane where there is where you know there is one snake, but it belongs to the passenger next to you?
Either know where the snake is or you don't.
You either know where the snake is and it's really close, or there's 20 of them and you have no idea where they are.
I want to know when it's close. At least I could see it. I could choose to avoid it.
This is the worst question. I guess one, and it's right next to me.
Right next to you, yeah.
One and one that's right next to me.
What if he's in the middle seat and the snake is the middle seat? He's in the window, you're in the aisle. The snake's in the middle seat.
No, I'm changing my answer. I'm going 20 when I don't know where they are.
Because there's no guarantee that these 20 are getting out. Yeah, they may be well secured.
Ignorance
we don't know.
Ignorance is bliss. I'm gonna go with that route. Yeah, because I'd just be terrified the entire time.
This goes right hand in hand with the two snakes that were fighting that fell out of the ceiling at someone's house.
Could you
imagine
that?
Fighting dead snakes fighting in your house, falling out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
I saw a photo from Australia that they said it was like a microcosm of wildlife there. And it was like a hyena eating a shark that had washed up on shore while two snakes were fornicating in the foreground.
Gosh.
Wow. That's like very Australia. That wasn't Florida?
Yeah, it sounds like Florida. It was
well,
Australia.
Hey.
Crikey!
This may go back to what we talked about last week in that the flat earthers believe Florida, Australia doesn't exist.
No such thing.
Because that picture is probably taken in Florida and they just want you to believe that it was Australia.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. All right, Guinness Book.
The Guinness Book. So the Guinness Book of World Records for 2019 is coming out, and there's some new feats in there. I'd like to know which one you would rather try to beat, knowing that you had to keep it up until completion. So here we...
That is a drop. Buck's saying keeping it up until completion, huh?
You're young enough to not have that problem, Buck.
Or Rick Pitino?
Wow. That was a whole can of worms. Can of snakes opened up everywhere.
Mark that also.
The question here, would you rather try to break the world record for balancing a guitar on your forehead the longest, which you'd have to do it for 7 minutes and 3.9 seconds?
Okay.
Or Get the world record for balancing the most dice on a cat's paw with 9. You have to do both these activities until you accomplish one of them.
Well, Dusty hates cats.
Yeah, I'm going with the guitar on my head. That's easy. That's easy.
A cat's paw? How long is the cat's paw record?
No, you have to balance 9 dice stacked on top of each other.
For how long?
For how long?
No, it's just how, it doesn't say how
you
long.
You just have, like, for you, I mean, 1 second, I guess long enough to say until 9?
That cat is holding those 9 dice.
Yeah, no, I'm going
to. That's impressive to do with a cat.
A cat would just bother me.
So you're gonna balance the guitar for 7 minutes on your forehead?
Yes. That's how
what
much
if it
I
takes
disdain.
You 100 times?
I don't care. That's how much I disdain cats.
I'm going to go with the cat.
I don't really like cats either, but I think that sounds easier than
it does sound easier.
Well, I guess it depends if you have an unruly cat. If the cat doesn't sit still, you're never balancing 1 die, let alone 9 dice.
I've met a few cool cats.
Yeah, we've been over that. You like the street cats?
Yeah, street
cats,
man. I love me some street cats. It's those domesticated, annoying furballs that you make Twitter handles for. Those are the cats I don't like.
Also, just of note, some new things added to the 2019 World Book, Guinness Book, that is.
Yeah.
Body modifications, 516. That's what? Like piercings and implants. Longest time controlling a soccer ball with the soles of your feet while on the roof of a moving car, 93 seconds.
Huh.
Did that one end in death?
Nope. At least not that's noted here. Oh. Eating the most powdered donuts in a minute. 9 powdered donuts in 60 seconds.
That would be really hard when you think about how dry your mouth gets.
It's like a chubby bunny contest.
A butcher in Ireland produced 78 sausages in 1 minute.
Wow.
The most skips by a dog and person in 1 minute on a single jump rope. Jessica and Rachel Grills did it 59 times in a minute.
With their dog Bear?
Not their dog Bear. No, the dog's name was Jessica.
Buck, I want you to look one up because Dusty and I are going to go for a Guinness Book of World Records.
Ooh.
We're going to do the longest radio broadcast ever.
No, we're not.
I wonder how long that is.
Isaac and Suk do their marathon, their radiothon.
Maybe the toughest here was the person in Germany who was able to skate on rollerblades on their hands for 50 meters in 8.5 seconds.
Well, that is fast. All right, what do you got? You're up next, Cameron.
Do we want to save the best for last, or do we have time?
No, we have plenty of time.
Okay, we have plenty of time. Then
We're doing the world's longest
ham
radio broadcast.
It up.
So we saw a similar story a month or two ago when someone had stolen fajita meat from a prison. There's a woman near Columbus, Ohio, the Columbus Dispatch reports, who her employer is trying to fine her $9,200 because she ate about 4 ounces of deli ham at the deli she worked at a day for 8 years. So they want restitution for all the ham she ate.
Holy.
It's going to cost $9,200.
Wow.
The question here...
That seems... a little one for you, one for me action. Yeah. She going there?
Yeah, I don't
one
know.
For me, they said
is 4.5 ounces a lot?
They said twice a day she would grab a couple slices.
Like how much? Oh,
like 2 ounces at a time, twice
really?
A day.
Yeah. Hmm. They're saying that's $9,200.
That's what they're saying.
Pay by the weight.
I mean, come on, really? I mean, what about employee
there
meals?
No such thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the rulemaker here. The person investigating said this most certainly will, or most likely will not go to felony charges.
Well, that's the dumbest thing
but,
I've ever
The question is, would you rather pay the $9,200 fine, or would you rather eat 920 pounds of ham before you could eat anything else?
Oh, that'd be an easy. I can knock that out, no problem.
Wait, the fine or that eating 920 pounds of ham?
Oh, the ham.
He said 920 pounds.
920 pounds. Yeah, I could do that.
That's almost 1,000 pounds of ham.
Yeah.
Before you can eat anything else.
Yeah. I'm a creature of habit. You don't understand. There's multiple ways I can make that ham. I could fry it, keep it cold.
So how much ham do you think you're eating a day?
Oh, because I was sitting there and I was thinking like, he's just saying you got to eat straight ham. You're thinking I can make ham sandwiches.
Yeah,
I can
do
make.
Lots
oh,
of things
no,
with
I was
it.
Thinking just ham individually sliced.
Still
by
no
itself.
Problem. Still no problem. I can heat it up. I can chop it up.
Yeah. So wait, you think you're going to eat a pound or two a day maybe?
At least. Yeah.
Through almost 3 years.
A pound or two? That's not that bad.
Well, if it was 2 pounds a day, it'd be like 465 days. So you're looking at over a year of eating ham and only ham.
Like, well, a year and a half almost.
Yeah. I don't know that I can afford the fine, so I might have to just eat the ham.
The ham.
Yeah, I'm going with the fine.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
I didn't say I couldn't blend it up in some water.
Could you know? Could you imagine ham your shake. Deuces with those look like with just ham?
I think it'd be firm.
My goodness.
You need some smooth move tea to make that bullets. Work better for you. All right, send us off,
peeing
Dusty.
In, peeing in public.
Oh, yes,
topic
peeing in public.
Of the day.
Yep.
Topic of the day.
So
we've been talking about all day.
There's a, I guess, a new procedure in Paris where they have, the cities have put in urinals in public view, like out in the middle of where everyone can see thoroughfares, streets, whatnot. They look like garbage cans. So a man can just walk up to it, unzip, pee, and move along their way. But a lot of the Parisians are not pleased with this. They don't want to see, I guess, men's backs as they're peeing in public. So the question here, would you rather see more people urinating in plain view, but, you know, in a proper way like this, or do away with that and leave people to their own devices, which may lead to more smell but less sight of the urine.
No, I'm with peeing in public on this one, Bob.
Public.
Have you ever been to an old bar? Like a really old bar?
Yeah, huge urinals?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry.
If you've been to like a really old bar, there's like a brass rail on the ground, like a foot rail.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a long drain on the other side. It used to be commonplace where guys would be standing at the bar drinking your beer and you'd pee.
In the rail?
At the bar.
At the drainage.
Just right there standing at the bar, just zip. No bathroom break. I'd like to go back to that.
You don't want to lose your spot.
Yeah, because as the great Cam Cleland once said, I ain't no meat gazer.
No, I got no problems with it.
So I'm going peeing in public.
I don't understand it, too. I've seen multiple times at golf courses, dudes just got to go. Wouldn't it be nice to know there's spots that were there for
designated
you?
Designated spots so no one's doing it on walls and in alleys and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
you're not upset if you're
it.
In a community there. If you're not taking the Big Daddy experience, we just go right on the wall.
Yeah, as this texture points out, just don't be pants around the ankles, Pierre.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Right.
Exactly. Use the barn door.
The problem will be is when the girls walk up and use the sheepie and try to
I don't
use
think
it
that's
themselves.
A problem. Why
you know what I'm
problem?
Talking about is the sheepy. Yeah.
It's like a funnel.
It is a funnel, Dusty. And really, if it's fair, then use it. Yep. I don't really, no problems.
Yeah, those Parisians need to lighten up.
They do.
Yeah. All right, thanks for playing, fellas.
Thank you. Seahawks signed Michael Kendricks, a guy who pleaded guilty to a felony just last week. Desperate or savvy move by the Hawks? 8:16 on the Fan. Seattle Seahawks have linebacker issues. Bobby Wagner, their middle linebacker, is missing practices this week with a groin injury. KJ Wright continues to be recovering from injuries of his own. The defense is in trouble in Seattle. So they went to the free agent list, and the best free agent available is a man who admitted last week to a felony of insider trading, Michael Kendricks, a former second-round pick of the Philadelphia Eagles who was released from the Browns after it was, released that the feds were charging him with insider trading. He admitted to it, pled guilty, and he will have sentencing January 24th, so he's available for the football season.
He is.
Is this a desperate or savvy move by the Seahawks?
Let's take the emotions out of it for a second. Let's go just straight need basis for linebacker. Mm-hmm. It's a savvy move for the Seahawks because if you're talking about one-year rentals, we heard what Sean McVay and the LA Rams wanted to do with Khalil Mack. They offered multiple picks to the Raiders, but what did they say in that trade? We only want him for 1 year.
Get that ring.
That's it. We only want him for 1 year. I'm sure the agents and everybody said, that's not what we want. We want a multi-year deal with a big contract, and that's why he ended up going to Chicago.
Yeah.
They did him a solid. Everything is year to year in the NFL. You're trying to get one ring. You're trying to get to the playoff push. So I'm not here to judge what a white-collar crime is because that's up for the judges, and that's up for what he's going to end up having to answer that in January 24th. Legitimately, he's going to answer for it. I think it's a savvy move by the Seahawks, and he'll get his day in court. But right now, if he's available and he will help you at linebacker, I don't see any problems with it.
You do not need to define whether this is white-collar crime or not, because this is definitely white-collar crime that he committed. Yeah. He admitted to $1.2 million in gains in the stock market due to inside information and insider trading. I mean, and that's over a 5-month period.
Yeah.
He admitted to that. He has pled guilty. He will be sentenced January 24th. You may be asking yourselves, wait a minute, how can a guy who is an admitted felon and faces 30 to 37 months in prison just go ahead and play in the NFL? Well, this is why it's a savvy move by the Seahawks, because the NFL can't do anything about it, really. As explained in the aftermath of Kendrick's public admission, this according to ProFootballTalk.com, the league cannot utilize the commissioner's exempt list, which is what they use for suspensions for a multitude of reasons, because it does not involve violence. There are specific rules against DUI, drugs, alcohol. There are specific rules against violent crimes, which is why the commissioner's exempt list exists. You cannot suspend a player under the CBA for insider trading right now. They are the end of... Go ahead.
No, no, I was going to tell you, now that this has happened, do you think there might be some variations in the next CBA?
Well, yes, but they're going to try and find if this can fall under the personal conduct policy.
Sure.
But currently, it doesn't. It, like, right now, the NFL is scrambling because the league office wants to be, we can't have a guy who's an admitted felon playing right now, right? Because that's the way the league reacts. Well, he's an admitted felon and he can't play because there is there's not a precedent for this, what Michael Kendricks has done.
I'm not versed enough in the knowledge of insider trading. I just know it happens, and it happens all the time, every single day with big time businesses. There's a reason why the 1% continue to be the 1%. I'm not going to rank what I think are bad crimes. This one doesn't seem that big of a deal to me. I'll just be honest with you. It doesn't. It doesn't seem that big of a deal. But will he be punished like it? Sure. Because it happens, and when you're a high-profile athlete, they're going to make an example of you to scare you from doing it again, which is, that's fine, no problems. But if he doesn't have to be in trouble for another few months, good luck to see if he can focus on it, because he might the whole time be thinking about, what am I going to do in my jail cell?
So, in what you're saying, and what I think I believe most NFL fans feel, is that this doesn't register enough of a, like, it's not a heinous crime.
Oh.
It's not endangering the lives of others by
stocks
driving when you're drunk, or
it's not violent in nature.
It's not violent in what he did. This is a nonviolent act that I think a lot of people go, but what he did is he
cheated,
pulled one over on a lot of investors, that he got his stocks out of places where he knew they were going down. And a lot of people lost money.
Yeah, but that happens every single day, with billions of dollars. I'm not going to hear to say it's not wrong, because it is wrong. I've never done it, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit there and tell you that it's more heinous than these other things that some of these guys have gotten away with in the NFL long before a crime like this.
Yeah, I just don't think this resonates and registers with people, because they cannot. A lot of people can't sit there and put themselves in that shoes, because they don't go through having millions of dollars in a bank account and making these sorts of moves. You know, it's not a relatable offense that he committed. Violent crimes, relatable. Yeah. People have been hit before. Yeah. People have been punched. People know somebody who's had a sister, a mother, you know, a significant other that has been in an abusive relationship. That is heinous in nature, and we know how that feels. That's relatable. This isn't. And I think that's why Michael Kendricks is probably going to play all season for the Seahawks.
Here's a legitimate text here on the Better You Today text line. Joe Mixon, violent crime, still playing. In fact, played last night.
Well, because in the NFL's reasoning for that was, it happened before he got here. He's been punished for that.
Right.
Played really well last night for the Bengals.
If the Seahawks need depth at linebacker and he's the best available, which he's a quality player, you go get it.
Yeah. We will revisit our textual relations coming up next on the football Q&A, Football Friday. Any questions you have about football, we have answers. We got some we didn't get to earlier in the show. Plus, I have Hurricane Florence is doing a lot of destruction in North and South Carolina. I have probably one of the more terrifying things that this hurricane could bring. And we'll tell you after Buck with Sports Center. Hurricane Florence is bearing down on, it is on North and South Carolina. and there's like 85 to 100 mile an hour winds going on. You got flooding at two nuclear power plants. You got 10 feet of water, flying debris, at power outages all over. But the Sun News is reporting that local reptile handlers are warning that this Hurricane Florence will make all of the venomous snakes come out of their habitats, and they could pick them up and transport them to neighborhoods and in the waters. As waters rise, they can swim through the waters, and they will be hundreds, if not thousands, of venomous snakes will be heading towards cities near you in North and South Carolina.
Terrifying.
That is terrifying.
I remember reading after Katrina that when the levees broke, that there were the alligators and crocodiles that were just basically through the streets because they didn't. There wasn't that barrier anymore between their habitats and humans.
Nope.
They'll always win. The wild.
I mean, those alligators have been here for like 4,000 years.
Yeah. We think we're the top of the food chain, but when water comes, we don't. We don't breathe in water.
Water, fire, wind, and earth shaking do not do well for us. Nope. Then Mother Nature takes over, and creatures. Mm-hmm. Creatures, man.
There's a reason why crocodiles have lived hundreds of millions of years. Mm. Mm. And reptiles.
It's true. Okay, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. let's see here now. Our textual relations today was Football Friday Q&A. Now, anything goes football related. You won't hear about Cam and I's weird perverse dreams. That's for another day. But any football Q&A that you have, we'll let you know. Yeah. And we had some good questions coming in.
We had some great questions coming in. I remember this is your show too on Fridays. We're going to have fun with this because in textual relations, it's all about asking some football knowledge and give us your questions out there because we got answers. You might not like them, but I got answers.
Mm-hmm.
And in those, when you do ask a good question, we're going to develop the Dusty and Cam. And those of you who don't know, we call you P1ers out there, you super P1ers. We're going to have, when we have good questions moving forward, you're going to earn yourself your own custom Dusty and Cam P1 shirt.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you're going to sport it loud and proud. And when someone walks up to you and says, "Hey, what is a P1? You get to tell them, "I'm a P1.
Okay, here we go. This is a question for you, Cam. Did Joe Horn really get with Willie Rofe's wife? Football related. Saints teammates.
We're going to go with her?
Well,
I don't.
Do you have the answer?
I don't officially know that.
Okay.
Now, that did happen when I was there. Supposedly, it did. Something happened.
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know this rumor.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of rumors out there. I can't confirm or deny.
That's a whole deal.
I can't confirm or deny.
Okay. Well, this one. After last Sunday, are the Minnesota Vikings the best team in the NFC North? P1 Kev Dog wants to know.
I'll let you know after Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, because they play the Green Bay Packers. Until you unseat Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers is upright. Not when Aaron Rodgers is not playing. I want the Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. Until you're able to do that, then I'm never going to say Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings are better than Green Bay at a full strength health with Aaron Rodgers.
What if you have Aaron Rodgers and not Devontae Adams and the Vikings win? It's favorite target.
Yeah. Again, you're Aaron Rodgers is the central focus of this, that question.
Okay.
The central focus. So no, not yet. They are not.
Why in the world would the Seahawks sign Michael Kendricks but not Eric Reed? Eric Reed's Pro Bowl and All-Pro safety, still unsigned, and suing the league for
collusion
with Colin Kaepernick because he was very outspoken about the anthem protests. Mm-hmm. He is still unsigned. Michael Kendricks, a admitted felon on a team. That is a confusing one. That's a legitimate question.
It is. I have no answer for that.
Well, and that's why the lawsuit is heading to court and didn't get thrown out.
Sure.
Because maybe one component, Michael Kendrick's still a pretty good player. Eric Reed's play went like this.
He did dip.
Went down.
Dipped a little bit.
All right. Well, you got questions. We got answers, baby. Okay. 55305, the Better You Today text line. What's the advantage of a pistol formation over traditional shotgun?
What's the difference between pistol or traditional shotgun? Well, it is pretty easy. You got a running back behind you. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do is you're trying to make it easier for your quarterback to see down the field, and then it still keeps an original back position behind so you don't deviate or give your strength away.
Yeah.
Is really what it is.
It makes it tougher on the defense because if you have a back offset to one side, more often than not, the play is going to be going to the opposite side that the back is set up to the quarterback because he's heading down that way towards the line of scrimmage. So if he's to the right of the quarterback, he'll be running to the left.
I'm a big fan of the pistol.
Yeah.
I like it a lot because it doesn't give strength. When I mean strength, side, your backs can go in multiple ways. You can still run downhill. I'm a big fan of running downhill at my backs. When you adjust and run the zone, I can't get aggressive very quickly. So yeah, I think the pistols is something that you'll see more implemented.
And that's amazing to me when you look at it and how long it took for the shotgun to evolve into the pistol, and that there was always these coaches that wanted to have a downhill running attack out of a gun look where your quarterback gets a better view of the defense. And this is why you do it and not just go under center, is your quarterback can still get a better view of the defense, have a little bit of that separation there.
Yeah.
But you can still run downhill and have an attack where your running back is not flat footed when he's getting the football. Because that's usually what you have in the pistol.
And as a fan, can I ask you guys, do plays take not as much time to develop in the pistol as well because it's a shorter distance from the snap? Does that play any role? Is a shotgun snap a little bit longer developing than a pistol snap or not really?
Not really. 2 yards? No. Do you think it does?
No, I don't think so. It just gives the advantage of when you're in a shotgun, usually you have an offset back.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's really the only advantage. And you get the ball in your hands of your quarterback faster, so, but it's not true under center.
But so pre-snap, the defense has a tougher time anticipating where you might run the ball, essentially?
Anytime you balance your formation, defense have to worry about which direction they have to defend. When you start declaring strength, it does. It makes it more difficult, or I'm sorry, it makes it easier for a defense to set their strength calls.
Mm. Okay. Cam, what's your favorite part of coaching high school football? And would you ever coach college? Zach and Eugene.
Yeah, I had a chance. I had a chance to coach the NFL, and I also had a chance.
You did? Wait, timeout, rewind. You did?
No, I had a chance to go in, and what you do is you intern. You become one of the quality control guys in the NFL.
Oh, get back coach.
Yeah. you become the – we had a guy, Jason Garrett's brother's name is Judd Garrett. And Judd was our quality control guy as a rookie when I was in New Orleans. And he'd got coffee, broke down film, he did all that stuff. So I thought about doing that, a chance to do that. I also had a chance to go to Green Bay with Coach McCarthy because my good friend Jerry Fontenot was the tight ends coach there. And so I could have gone there and done like an intern and work in it, because that's how you start. You get in there and you just kind of hang around and they bring you on. And sometimes they don't even pay you. You got to stay there and you become an NFL volunteer guy. But you got to get in the door somehow. Collegiately, I don't think I could do it because it's the recruiting side. That's just I have a hard time thinking about just flying all the way around and never seeing your family and traveling. It's so much time you never see your family. The best part about coaching high school is working with guys and being a part of that locker room and that experience with young players, because it's fun to show them a technique and watch them get it, because it still has a little bit of purity there, and they're just, you know, they're young kids and they really want to learn. Some want to learn, others are just think they know everything like every other teenage kid.
You would murder a college in high school, like a high school recruit or a college player.
No,
you would not handle their back talk very well.
No, you'd be surprised. I've had to really temper when you're part of a school district and things, you can't say the things you want to say. You got to learn. Collegiately, it's an open forum.
But and that's why you would kill a college kid.
Probably.
High school, you are good for because you don't teach and you're not around them enough.
Yeah.
You get that escape. You're only a couple hours a day and you're in and out, you know?
Yeah. Oh, this is a good question here, Dusty.
What?
Preferred blocking scheme, gap or zone?
Oh, boy. I know the answer to this one.
You what's your answer?
I like gap blocking.
Oh, I love gap. Zone blocking is...
It limits you.
Zone blocking is the reason why Tom Cable is no longer with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
The inability to teach how to block in space is the most difficult thing to do with an offensive line.
And really,
not even a question.
Like these zone blocking guys will say, when I say it limits you, no. They'll say it gives you all the options in the world. Well, I think that the best play in football is a little ISO action where you're just putting hat on hat, get up to the next level, make one cut and go, baby. Right? And that to me, you eliminate that with the zone because you have the offensive line who's reading the defense, and then the running back has to read the offensive line and the defense, and then you have too many working parts. Just see hole, hit hole, go. I like that.
Well, it's pretty simple. Game. If you're coaching young kids, do you want to tell them how to block three guys in one play? Because that's essentially what a zone block can do. You can be a center, have to block your one technique, come off in a combo block, move to the backer of the mic that's scraping over the top, and then have your guard take over that block, and then you have to scrape all the way to the safety. Do you know how hard that is to teach the concept in less than 2 seconds when a back is coming on you and trying to keep your shoulder square? With a gap or man block, all you have to do is say, block that guy in front of you. Simple. It's easy. That's what we're trying to do, make football easy.
And what I this is what I believe, though, is that I think that we limit ourselves too much to, hey, you're just a zone blocking team. You're just a gap team.
You got to know both.
You have to have an element of both because they can work both ways for you. All right, 55305, better you today, text line. We get you set for the weekend on the Fan Plus. A couple more of your questions coming in, 842 on the Fan. Yeah, buddy! Here we go! Woo! Football Friday! Look at this one. Working for the weekend. We're here. Mm-hmm. We are here. I love it. Favorite part of my week. This one right here.
Hey, we got high school football tonight. Did you know
that?
Yes,
we do.
I'm going to give a shout out to the Skyline Storm, Skyview Storm. Uh-oh. I always do that to mess with them. Skyview Storm, I know. We're hosting Mount Si, but those of you, this is why it's important, fans. Listen, Mount Si is home to your future quarterback, Oregon Ducks. So if you want to get a chance to see Cale Millen come down, he's going to be down here playing at Kigan Stadium. You want to come out and watch the future of Oregon Duck football, you're going to watch this young man play against the Skyview Storm tonight.
Kiggins Bowl, you can also hear it on ESPN Portland 910.
910. So if you don't want to make the drive over the river and cross the worst bridge in the history of bridges, just tune in to 910.
Yeah.
And listen to Preston and Marcus make the call for you.
Yeah, Preston Highfield, Marcus Greaves, the Area Heat and Cooling Game of the Week.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum. The Bi-Mart Game of the Week right here on The Fan will be the brand new school, Mountainside High School.
Where's Mountainside?
The Mountainside Mavericks.
How did that happen? They just, new school?
On the side of a mountain. Put it right there.
Carve it in.
Yeah. It is beautiful. That's where the Beavs.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
That's where the Beavs did their spring scrimmage up in Portland. Mm. It's over by kind of by Big Al's. Big Al's in Beaverton.
I haven't been over there.
You haven't?
Uh-uh.
I've
been to the Big Al's down by
Vancouver?
No. Yeah, I've been to that one. I was thinking of something else. I was thinking Dave and Buster's. I apologize.
It is not Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, Big Al's in Vancouver.
It's kind of over that area, like Allen Boulevard, Washington Square Mall area, but further. I know Beaverton people are going to get upset. But Sandy and Mountainside are going to square off. You know, Sean Mannion's, his dad is the coach at Mountainside.
That's pretty cool.
And I don't know who the coach of Sandy is anymore, but yep. They're playing tonight.
I get you.
Yeah. And that's Swag and Andrew Nemec on the call there. Of our Bi-Mart Game of the Week. Coming up tomorrow, we have our 20th-ranked Oregon Ducks taking on San Jose State. Our coverage starts at 10 a.m.
Mm, you say that with a question mark.
Yeah, no, it is 10 a.m.
Kickoff is?
2.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. So I just have to do math in my head. 4 hours before game time, Anthony Newman, Dirt, and myself will have the pregame show, which, by the way, hit me up in the parking lots. Had people doing it last week.
Because what are you giving away that is frustrating? I want one of those things.
It is a Yeti cooler.
And why is Yeti so popular? Because it's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Is great.
Joel Polamalu is the coach of Sandy. Joe Polamalu. Golly. It's totally mind blank that one.
Yeah, they better at you. They better at Dusty_Hair to get you in the show up and give you away the Yeti Coors Light cooler.
If you tweet me, and this goes to P1 Anthony. P1 Anthony. Pre-game show last week went from 7 to 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. P. and Anthony's like, hey, come at 9:15. I've already given away the cooler. Guys, it has to be...
Details. Details.
Between 10 and noon, hit me up on Twitter and let me know where you're at, and I will come and visit you. I will do it. Sure. I will do it. Just not after the show's over, because we got stuff to do. So, yes, that is our football right here. And also... we will have Center in the Saint tomorrow. Golf in the Northwest still going on. over on 910 tomorrow.
Okay.
So Harold and Swag will be 910-ing that bad boy up. We got all of our coverage, and then we have Football Sunday with
a busy football.
Lynch and Rashad. God,
so good. It's just, it's everything is good.
Hey, did you know that Buck calls games?
Yeah, I did know that.
Buck is the play-by-play man for Grant High School football.
Yeah.
On the internet, Table Rock Sports.
Interwebs.
So if you'd ever want to hear Buck call a football game,
mm-hmm.
you can go ahead and listen to him mm-hmm. on the internet,
he
too.
He is cutting his teeth, not listening to us. He's cutting his teeth in the yeah. football broadcasting world.
I'm listening.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you a shout out there, Bucky.
Thanks. Mm. Yeah, you can see it at Table Rock Sports.
You can see
Table
it?
Table Rock Sports.
We, can yeah, we watch you?
It's a live stream, yeah.
Oh.
See? That's a face for TV over there, Buck.
Does the future Mrs. Buck
face for
live tweet it out for you, too?
Oh.
No, no. Future Mrs. Buck is down in San Francisco. She could care less about high school football tonight. Yeah.
Oh, she already left you.
Yep. She already took off. See ya.
All right. We do have audio. One thing that we haven't gotten to from last night's Bengals-Ravens Thursday night football game. Did you hear the awkward encounter that Steve Smith Sr. and Michael Irvin had?
This is good. You want to hear this.
this is
really good.
This is on the set of their pregame show. This is phenomenal.
I understand you have the rings, but I passed you statistically years
ago.
Hold on. Hang in there. I got enough rings to let all y'all borrow one.
Hang in there.
Have some. I
concur and I agree with your rings, but at the same time, it ain't no route I couldn't run that you hoped you could run.
I like the competition still on the set right now.
I got a doctorate in route running.
I like it.
Talk about it. I got a doctorate route. You got
tell them about
it. You got an associate's degree, player.
I got a doctorate in route running. You got an associate's degree, player.
Mic drop.
Love it. Well, I think Michael Irvin still has a jacket and rings.
Gosh, I love angry Steve Smith. Steve Smith will have a jacket, by the way.
He will.
Angry Steve Smith is fantastic. Ever since he was at Utah, and angry Steve Smith has now made his way. He crushed my heart in 2003 on a slant route on Jason Sehorn. Jason Sehorn in double overtime beat me to go to the NFC Championship game, and it was still crushing. Steve Smith is a really good dude and won that. Although, did he? Three Super Bowl rings. I think Michael Irvin's doing all right.
Michael Irvin's still doing okay.
But that was pretty good. I've used that one before. I have my doctorate in football. You have yours. You have your associate's degree.
What a jerk.
That's a good one.
All right. Well, we will we'll keep you updated on how that fight goes. I love that awkward arguments that get involved there. Because from that point on, Mike Irvin was upset with Steve.
Oh, yeah. He was salty.
He was upset with
good.
Him. All right. Here we go. We got people that are sitting there and saying that the Progress Ridge is where Mountainside is. The Tex Police have come in on that. Does that help you at all?
Nope.
Okay. Up next is the Herd with Colin Cowherd from 9 to noon. Coming up on the Herd today, TJ Houshmandzadeh, former Oregon State Beaver, Pro Bowler for the Bungles. He'll join him at 9:30 after the Herd. It is Dirt and Sprague from noon to 3. 3 to 6:45, you have primetime with Isaac and Souk. 6:45 until whenever that game gets over is the Bi-Mart Game of the Week. The Mountainside Mavericks and the Pioneers of Sandy High School going head-to-head right here on The Fan. We will see you tomorrow morning. I will be on the pregame show, 10 a.m. to noon, with Dirt, Anthony, and myself leading you up to Ducks pregame coverage at noon and a 2 o'clock kick between the Oregon Ducks and San Jose State Spartans. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on The Fan.